Okay, today's daf is Shabbos daf Tes Vav. We are holding on daf Yud Dalet and Beis. We're toward the end of the page. We're discussing the gzeira that Stam Yadayim are Tmeo. So we ran into a little bit of trouble finding the source of this gzeira, because on the one hand we said that this is one of the Yurches Dover that the Talmidei Shammai and Talmidei Hillel, and they got together in that Aliyah that the Mishnah was talking about, that this was one of the gzeiras that were made. But on the other hand, we found that Shammai and Hillel themselves had this issue and already discussed this issue and made this gzeira. So how could it be that it's both Shammai and Hillel and the Beis Shammai and the Beis Hillel? Which one was it? So the Gemara had said, we left off yesterday, that asu inhu gazer velo kiblu minayu vasu talmidayu gazer vekiblu minayu, that Shammai and Hillel tried to make the gzeira, but no one was mekabel the gzeira, so it didn't take. But then the talmidei Shammai v'Hillel made the gzeira again. They tried it again, and then it worked, and then it was accepted in Klal Yisrael, and it was able to become a real gzeira. So frak the Gemara, but wait, still it seems to have come much, much earlier in history. Gzeiros Rabbanan don't have to come only from Tanan min Amorayim. Gzeiros Rabbanan could come from Neviim, Malachim, they could come from Avos, they could come from, well, Avos probably not so much, but Moshe Rabbeinu could have made a Gzeira Midrabbanan. There is a, Silver quoted last night in his Shir in the White Shul, there's a Kliyakar, he always likes to quote, that says, in this past week's Parsha, that Chava tells the snake that we're not allowed to eat from this tree or touch the tree. So Rashi says, the snake pushes her up against the tree and says, oh, you see, you touched the tree and nothing happens, so now you can eat from it also. So we're used to thinking of that Rashi as, what kind of silly thing was it that Chava did by telling the snake that we're not allowed to touch the tree? The Kliyakar says, no, obviously Chava wasn't stupid. She would have realized if she made it up on her own. No, it was that Adam Arishon made it up. Adam Arishon told her that he knew you're not allowed to eat from the tree, but he made a din d'rabbanan that you're not allowed to touch the tree either. He made a gzeira, first ever gzeira d'rabbanan. So Adam Arishon may say, but he didn't tell Chava that it was only a din d'rabbanan. He told Chava, you're not allowed to touch the tree, and you're not allowed to eat from the tree. She thought they were both a din d'oraisa, they were both from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And the Nachash says, you see, nothing happens when you touch the tree. So d'rabbanans could come from very early sources. So the Gemara says, who says this d'rabbanan started with Shammai, Hillel, Beisham, Beis Hillel? No, Vakati, Shlomo Gazar. Shlomo Melech made this gzeira. When Shlomo Melch made the takana of Erevin, and the takana, because what do you need Erevin for? The halacha is technically on a daraisa level, you carry from a Rosh Hashayachid to another Rosh Hashayachid, you are not chayiv for carrying from one place to another, from one Rosh Hashayachid to another Rosh Hashayachid. So why is it that you need an Erev to allow you to carry from your house into your chatzer or to another house in the chatzer? So that was the takana Shlomo Melch. So that's only Dindarabanan that you're not allowed to carry from one to the other. But Shlomo Melch made a tikkun midrabanan. He made a way to fix it midrabanan, and that is through an Erev Chatzeru. So when Shlomo Melch decided to be Mesakin Erevin, and when he decided to be Mesakin Netilas Yadayim, Yatza Baskal Yamra, a Baskal came out and said that. and said over the pasuk b'ni im chacham libecha yismach libi gamani, that it praised the chachma of Shlomo HaMelech. B'ni im chacham libecha yismach libi gamani chacham b'ni samach libi vashiv charfi davar. So you see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very pleased with the chachma of Shlomo HaMelech. But our point over here is not how pleased he was with the chachma of Shlomo HaMelech, but the point is that Shlomo HaMelech is the one that made the Takana v'netilas yadayim. The Chassam Sofer asks, why was HaKadosh Baruch Hu so happy with this? What was so great about these takanos more than any other takanos? Furthermore, Shlomo Melech was gozer and shnios la'rayos. That's not mentioned over here. Right? The fact that one is not allowed to sleep with their grandmother—that's shnios la'rayos. Shlomo Melech made that gezeira also. It doesn't say anything about chacham libi. So the Chassam Sofer says, no, what's unique about these is that these aren't just chumras that Shlomo Melech made. That you can't do this, you can't do that. Shlomo Melech built in a tikkun. He built in a way that you're able to do these things. Meaning, he didn't just say, okay, you're not allowed to carry from Rosh Hashayachid to another Rosh Hashayachid. He said, you can, but you need to do something. You need to make an Erev, right? He didn't just say, okay, you're Yadayim Artame, so you can never touch your food, you can never touch Truma. No, you can, you just need to do Netilas Yadayim. And that's the that's a higher level takana, when it's not just a stam, a chumra that we add in, but you make life livable. You give Klal Yisrael not just a chumra, but a way out of it. That's the chachma that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was praising. B'shnius la'rayus, there's no, it's just a gzeira. So that's why it's not mentioned, that's why it's not included over here. But bottom line, we're still stuck with our question. It seems to date all the way back to Shlomo HaMelech, says the Gemara, also Shlomo Gazar L'Kadshim, Vasu Inhu, V'Gazar Af L'Truma. Shlomo HaMelech was Gozer that Yodayim are Tamei vis-a-vis Kadshim. But then Shammai and Hillel came along and were Gozer that Yodayim should be Tamei even for Truma, to even be able to ruin Truma. No one accepted Shammai and Hillel's extension. Then the Talmidim of the Beis Shammai and the Beis Hillel came along and they reiterated their Rebbe's Gzeira, and at that point it was already accepted, and that's how it happened in three different stages. Gufa. So now let's go back to this discussion about the machlokas in between Shammai and Hillel. Amar Avidom Amar Shmuel, Yurches Gazru Ubi Yurches Nechleku. That there were 18 gezeros that they made, and in all 18 things, the base Shammai and the base Hillel disagreed with each other. So Frek the Gemara Vatanya Hushvu. But doesn't the Braisa say that Hushvu, that they agreed with each other, that they were okay, they were all on board with these gezeros? Answers the Gemara, Bo Bayom Nechleku Ulamachar Hushvu. That this was initially a machlokas between the Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, but at some later point they resolved it and they all agreed to make these gezeros. So it didn't last very long as a machlokas. It started as a machlokas, but ultimately it resolved itself. Gufa Amra Funa Begimel Makomos Nechleku Shammai VeHillel. There are only three places that Shammai and Hillel themselves actually argue. It's really astonishing considering how many places the Beis Shammai and the Beis Hillel argue. So the Gemara says it's because of the Talmid Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel Shloshimshu Kol Tzarchan, that they didn't pay enough attention to be Yoreh the Omek Inyan to really understand everything the Rebbeim said 100%. And that's why when things came up, they were they viewed things in different ways. But Shammai and Hillel themselves only argued about three things. What are those three things? Good Jewish trivia right here, Shabbos Daf Tezvav, we'll list all three. Number one, Shammai Omer Mikav Chala. One is, how much dough do you have to make in order to be Chayiv and Chala? So Shammai says, from a Kav, you're Chayiv and Chala. V'Hillel Omer Mikavayim, two Kav is Chayiv and Chala. V'Chachamim Omerim Lo Kedivrei Zeh V'Lo Kedivrei Zeh El Kav U'Mechza Chayiv B'Chala. V'Chachamim say, no, it's right in between. They compromise. It's not really a compromise. They have a different shita, but it sounds like compromise. Kavu mechza is chayiv in chala. Mishigdilu amidos, once the measurements got bigger and they changed what they call a kav by 1/6, amru chameshes revaim kemach chayav b'chala. They said that four revaim, four lugin, which is revius, four quarters of a kav, meaning a kav and quarters of a kav, which is a kav and a quarter, is chayiv in chala. It was the same kav and a half that the Chum originally said, but it's just mishigdilu amidos, what used to be a kav and a half is now a kav and a quarter. It's the same amount of flour. Rabbi Yossi Omer, hey peturin, hey va'ud chayavin. If it's five quarters of a kav, it's pata from chala, but if it's five quarters of a kav plus a little bit, plus a mashu, that's going to be chayiv and chala. So machlokas number one between Shammai and Hillel is in the shear chala, and they're not the only two shitos. There are two other shitos as well in terms of what the shear of chala is. The second machlokas Shammai and Hillel, the idach, Hillel Omer, Malei Hin Mayim Shu'uvim, Poslem Es HaMikvah. Hillel says if you were to take Mayim Shu'uvim, water that is drawn in a kli, and put it into a mikvah that is not yet complete, if the mikvah were already complete, already has all 40 sa'ah, you could add in as much Mayim Shu'uvim as you want. But if you have a mikvah that's not yet complete, and then you add in a little bit of water to the mikvah, Mayim Shu'uvim, to that mikvah, so Malei Hin of Mayim Shu'uvim will passel that mikvah, shechayiv adam lomer b'lashon rabo, because a person has to say in the same lashon that his Rebbe said. What's that about? We just said a shita. What did he say? So unusual. So three shitos over here. What the Gemara means, what the Mishnah means, is a Mishnah idios. What the Mishnah means when it says that shechayiv adam lomer b'lashon rabo. Rashi over here says shechayiv adam lomer kolomer hin eino lashon Mishnah el lashon Torah. Hin is not a word you find in Mishnayos very much. Hin is a measurement that the Torah always uses, right? The Torah, when you hear Kriyas HaTorah about the different karbanos, the Torah always uses the term hin. It's not a lashon that the Mishnayos use very much at all. Elekach shom pishmai v'avtalion. But that's how Hillel heard it from Shmaya Vavtalion. Shmaya and Vavtalion were his Rebbeim, and they used the term hin, so he had to say it as hin. Then Rashi says, Rabosai Mefarshin Beloshon Moshe Rabbeinu. V'libi Megamgeim, Shari Bekamakom Slohikvid Alkach. He says, a second possibility, so there are four Pshatim really. Rashi gives a second possibility that Beloshon Rabbo doesn't mean his own personal Rebbe, Shmaya Vavtalion. He means Klal Yisrael's Rebbe, that Moshe Rabbeinu taught it to us when he gave us the Torah with the Loshon of hin. So we should use the measurements that it says in the Torah. Says Rashi, that's difficult to accept, because then why don't the Mishnayos all over the place use the term hin? Meaning, because we said that Mishnayos never used the term hin, that this is an anomaly that Hillel all of a sudden used the term hin. So Rashi does not like his Rebbe's interpretation over here, that Chayv Adonam B'Loshon Rabbah relates to Moshe Rabbeinu. Maariz Chayis quotes two more interpretations over here. One, he says that the Rambam in his Perush on Idios, Perek Aleph Mishnah Gimel, writes Shekibel me Rabbo ve Rabbo me Rabbo. Very unusual. The Rambam says he heard from his Rebbe and his Rebbe from his Rebbe. Now the Rambam refers to, it's unclear which Rebbe he's talking about. The Rambam in his Akhtama to Mishnah Torah says that his Rebbe that he was so impressed by and that made such an impact on his life was the Rimi Gash. The Rimi Gash's Rebbe was the Rif. So it could be that he's referring to the Rif, but on the other hand, it's unclear how much the Rambam could have really heard from the Rimi Gash, because the Rimi Gash died when the Rambam was 5. Apparently, the Rambam met him, and he had a very big impact on him, and the Rimi Gash was the Rambam's father's Rebbe, but it's unclear exactly who he means. But the Rambam says, I heard from my Rebbe, who heard from his Rebbe. The Pshat is like this. Ki Hillel asher lamed mishmai v'avtalion shoyim mikal gerim, Hillel learned by Shmaya Naftalion. Shmaya Naftalion were gerim. Now, a lot of times, non-Jews have a difficult time pronouncing some of the letters in the Hebrew language, and particularly the letter He was very difficult. Now, we don't have that experience that people have trouble with the letter He. They have trouble with the letter Ches. They don't have trouble with the letter He, but that's probably because we mispronounce He. He is more probably a lot closer to a Ches. You hear a Sephardi pronounce He, then we have trouble with the letter He. But Shmaya Naftalion had trouble with the letter He. So when they said Hin, it sounded like In. So they when Hillel would teach it, he would say in. He would mispronounce it on purpose because the Rebbe mispronounced it. So Hillel's going to mispronounce it also. Chayev adam lomar b'loshon rabbo. So says Maariz Chayis b'shem legra. Come on, really? You have to mispronounce things? And if your Rebbe stutters, you have to stutter. If your Rebbe, is that really true? We should all be mispronouncing everything, because Moshe Rabbeinu had a speech impediment, so we should all be lisping or whatever his speech impediment was. Everyone should always say everything. B'loshon Rabbo. If we have to mimic every speech impediment. So says the Gra. Maariz Chayis quotes from the Gra a very beautiful pshat. He says no. When because of their speech impediment, what are they going to say? In mayim posim es hamikvah. In Mayim? What is in Mayim? Everyone's going to think, no, Mayim Shuvim. In Mayim Shuvim Pulsim as a mikvah. Mayim Shuvim doesn't passel a mikvah. Ain Mayim Shuvim Pulsim as a mikvah. So Shmaya Naftali, when they would teach that, they realized that they had a speech impediment, and they realized that they needed to compensate for their inability to pronounce the hay with other explanatory words. So instead of just saying Hin Mayim, they said Mole Hin Mayim. Because if they were to just say Hin Mayim, everyone would hear Ein Mayim. So they had to add an explanatory word, Mole Hin Mayim. Why do you have to use the word Mole? Mole just means a full hin. What would I think? If you just said hin, I wouldn't think it's a full hin. No, they had to add the word Mole because they couldn't pronounce the word in. So when Hillel, even though he could pronounce the word hin, when he would say it over, he would also add the word Mole. So he would say Mole Hin Mayim. And that's how he, so I asked the Maariz Chayis, but wait a second, there are some times in Chazal that we do find the word Mole, and we don't have any such like Mole Tarvid Rekev, and we don't find any reason for the word Mole being there. So says Maariz Chayis, that's by a dry Mida. When it's something that's a measurement, that's a dry measurement, we'll use the word Mole, because it does mean something. Because if you have a dry measurement, normally, if you just say the measurement, it means smooth on the top, you have a Kli that's a certain size, that's let's say the size of whatever, of a, you know, a cup. So it's just flat to the top, exactly one cup. cup. When you say male, it means a heaping cup. It means that it's heaping above the level of the cup. But by liquid measure, it makes no sense to say male. Hin is a liquid measure, hin mayim. So what's the word male doing there? So that's the word of the gra. That chayav adam lomer b'loshon rabo, since Shmai ben Avtalion had to say it, so they had to say it as well. So that's this beautiful Maritz Chai. So anyway, so this is the second machlokas, that Hillel holds how much mayim shuvim is going to pass the mikvah. A hin of mayim shuvim is passes the mikvah. Shammai yomer, Shammai says, no, not a hin. Tisha Kavin of Mayim Shuvin will passel an incomplete mikvah. The Chum Mamrim Lokadivrizah, the Lokadivrizah, and the Chum said, no, we accept neither of them. Ad Shabo Beis Gardiyah Mishar HaAshba Shibirushlaim, until two weavers came from Shar HaAshba Nirushlaim, the Idu Mishum Shmai Vaftalion, Sheshlosha Lugin Mayim Shuvin Pulsinus a mikvah, that three lug of Mayim. Of Mayim Shuvin passes a mikvah, the Kimu Chacham Mestivrayim, and the Chum said that's the correct measurement, that's how much Mayim passes a mikvah. So again, second Machlokas Shammai and Hillel, they are not alone in this Machlokas, there's a third Shita, and the third Shita seems to be the accepted Shita. Why is it important to know who these people were that came with this tradition from Shmai Vaftalion that it's three Lugin, that they happen to have been weavers and they happen to come from Shara Ashba? Why give all this biographical information? So Rashi explains, Mesech Sedios Mefarish, it says it Beferish in the Mishnayos and Edios. Lama Husker Shem Umnosam Veshem Mekomam, Lomar Shalo Yimana Adam Atzma Mibes HaMedrash. Person should never think that he's beneath the level to be able to study in the Beis Medrash. Shein Lecha Umnos Pchusa Migardi, Shein Mamidin Menelo Koin God of Lo Melech. There's no lower profession than a weaver. From a weaver, we don't appoint a Koin Gadol or a Melech, Damrin Bekidushin. Vein Shar B'Yushalayim Pachos Mishara Ashbos. And there's no neighborhood in Yerushalayim that's a lower neighborhood than the Shara Ashbos. V'Yechriyu Be'edusam Kol Chachma Yisrael. And one of the three places where Shammai and Hillel argue in all of Shas, and these guys, these weavers from Shara Ashba, get to outvote Shammai and Hillel. Why? Because if they got it right, they got it right. Yeah, that's one beautiful thing about a Beis Medrash. Everyone is equal, no matter who you are, no matter what you are in any other part of your life. Everybody is equal when they walk into the Beis Medrash. The Idach, what's the third machlokes? Shammai Yomer Kol Anashim Dayin Shaitan is in Hilchos Nida. That Shammai says that if a woman sees dam, she can assume that if she finds dam, she can assume she's tameh starting from when she found it. She does not have to assume that she has been tameh and start thinking about, oy vey, did I touch truma 10 minutes ago, an hour ago? What was I mitameh? What did I sit on? No, she could assume that she's only tameh Dayan Shaitan from here on in. Hillel says, no, she's got to go back to the last time she did a bedika. And the last time she did a clean bedika, she knows she was Tahora. Anytime after that, even if it's many, many days, she has to assume that she was Tameh, and she has to be careful to track down whatever the repercussions of that are. And again, the Chum say, no, we don't hold like Shammai or Hillel. Rather, the way we look at it is she can be metamei lemafreya, so more machmir than Shammai, but it doesn't go back forever. The furthest it can go back is 24 hours. If she had done a bedika within 24 hours, let's say 12 hours ago, then it's only going to go back 12 hours, because 12 hours ago she did a bedika and it turned out good, so she knows she was Torah then. But if her last bedika was 3 days ago, so she's only going to be metamei lemafreya 24 hours. That's the shita of the Chachamim. So again, all three machlokasim, they're the between Shammai and Hillel. Shammai and Hillel are not the only two deos. So says Gemara, Vesu Leka, are those really the only three machlokasim between Shammai and Hillel? I could think of more. Vayika Hillel Omer Lismach, Vashammai Omer Shalol Lismach. What about doing smicha on a karban? It's a machlokas Shammai Beis Hillel by doing smicha on Yantif, when you bring Nedarim and Davos and smicha on Yantif. So Hillel says you do smicha. Shammai says lo lismach, you can't. So ki kam ravuna echad delaka plukta drabusa v'adayu. Now that's not really that. Shammai and Hillel did argue about that, but that was not a machlokas that they initiated. That was a machlokas that their rebbeim, that went back generations before them. As Rashi points out, shlosha mekomos Shamar Rav Huna, Lo Nechlu Ben Rav Hosein, Harishonim. The three places that we were highlighting were three places that earlier generations didn't argue about. Aval Smicha, Kala Avos Beis Din, Vanasiyim, Yosi Ben Yoazra, Ad Hillel Nechlu Kubabim, Sech Schegiga. All the Avos Beis Din, all the way back from Yosi Ben Yoazra, would argue about this. So it's not a unique machlokas to Shammai and Hillel. Says more, we still got one more. Vayika Botzer Legas, Shammai Amar Huchshar, Vehillel Amar Lo Huchshar. Let's say a person is picking grapes in order to be able to make wine with the grapes. And some liquid, when the grapes are in the basket, some liquid seeps out of the grapes. Is that liquid able to be machshir the grapes to be mekabel tumah? Okay, this is, I think, the third time in the last 4 days we had hechshir lekabel tumah. So definitely Tuesday night show is going to be on hechshir lekabel tumah. But the halacha by hechshir lekabel tumah is that only if you want the liquid to seep out, you want the liquid to be on the fruit, is it machshir lekabel tumah? There are only zayin mashkim that are machshir lekabel tumah. There are only seven liquids that have the ability to be machshir something lekabel tumah. The Shulchan Aruch actually gives the mnemonic. It's unusual. Shulchan Aruch gives a mnemonic to how to remember the Zayin Mashkim, Yad Shachadam. So the Yud stands for Yayin. The Yayin is able to be Makshal Kabal Tumah, but only if you want it out there. So when you have grapes, any bit of juice that seeps out of the grapes before you make wine out of it is lost wine. It's something that you're not going to be able to make wine because the juice is going to be Holech Li'ibud. So generally speaking, we assume it's something that you don't want. So it should not be Makshir Kabal Tumah, technically. So why is it that the Beis Shammai says that it's Hukshar? So Beis Shammai says that it's Hukshar because sometimes if you have it in a sealed basket, in a basket where the liquid won't just drip down onto the floor, it's not like a wicker basket, a basket that's actually closed, so then the grapes sitting in its own liquid will soften the grapes, and that will make it easier to press the grapes, and that will help in the winemaking process, and therefore you do want it. So that's why it's Makshul Kabal Tumah, even in a basket where it does seep out, Gzeira to a basket where it doesn't seep out. The Hillel Amar Lo Hukshar, and Hillel says no, like you would have expected. I don't want this liquid because it's all fallen on the floor and it's less wine that I'm going to have. So it's not Makshir Lekabel Tumah. So this was another Machlokas Shammai and Hillel. Why doesn't this make the list? Answers the Gemara, Bar Minei Daihi, Dahasam Kashasik Le Hillel Leshammai. We don't count that Machlokas because in that Machlokas, Hillel ultimately was Shosek. Hillel ultimately agreed to Shammai, to that Gezerah that Shammai made. Says Maritz Chayis, what this means over here is very important. Bevadai b'meshech hazman nesina satara adimos Shammai v'Hillel hayabelis safek pirud hadeos binyanei ora. Throughout all the generations, says the Maritz Chayis, there must have been many, many machlokasim that came to Beis Din. So why is it that we blame Shammai and Hillel for all the machlokas in Klal Yisrael, that they argued about three things and then the Talmidim started arguing about more and more and more? He says because every time in history that there were machlokasim before that, there was some consensus that was, there was some sort of vote or a consensus that was arrived at where ultimately everyone agreed. It didn't remain a machlokas. It's only after Shammai and Hillel that things started remaining a machlokas. That you could ask a shayla and the rabbi will tell you, it's a machlokas haposkim. It was never like that. It was always, there was initially a machlokas, there were different opinions, but they were always able to resolve it. And he gives several examples of how we find very, very early machlokasim, such as machlokas between Shaul HaMelech and David HaMelech, about Milva Pruta, Daita Milva, Daita Pruta. Right? They argued about whether David was in fact married or not. Right? That's why Shaul gave his daughter to another man, because he held that they weren't married. Shaul didn't want his daughter to violate the Isra of Eshes, sleeping with another. He held they weren't married based on the way the Kiddushin was done, Milva Pruta with the Yarlos of the Plishtim. But ultimately, the issue was resolved. Meaning, every machlokas that we had earlier, the issue ultimately had to have been resolved. That's what was unique about the machlokasim between Shammai and Hillel. That's what the Gemara is alluding to over here. A machlokas that even Hillel was molded to the next day or sometime afterwards doesn't make the list, because that we have plenty of times. You could have dozens of those where ultimately they come to some agreement. Okay, Yossi ben Yozer is straight of Yossi ben Yochanan is Shushlaim, Gozer Tum al Eretz Ha'amim v'al Klei Zechuches. So you mentioned that they made a gezeira that Eretz Ha'amim, that Chutz La'aretz is Tameh, and that glass kalim Our tame as well can become tame. So, frankly, Gemara v'harabbanim d'shmonim shana gazer. Now, this gezer that chutz la'aretz is tame. The rabbanim of shmonim shana were gozer. The rabbis who lived 80 years before the Churban Habayis already made this gezer. Not already made this gezer. Not Yossi ben Yoezer. Dam Rav Kana k'shechala Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yossi. When Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yossi got sick, shalchulo Rabbi Amar lanu bezu gimel dvarim shamarta mishum avicha. They said, can you teach us another couple of things that you learned from your father? Shalach lam kacha maraba. So he said, here's something I heard from my father. Kuf pei shana ad shalo charav habayis. Give you a history lesson. 180 years before the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, Pashta Malchus HaRisha al Yisrael, the evil government took over and was able to take control of Eretz Yisrael. Pei shana ad shalo charav habayis. 80 years before the Churban Habayis, Gazru Tumal Eretz Ha'amim Val Klei Zechuchis. They made these gezeros of Eretz Ha'amim Klei Zechuchis. Memshan, that's the only line we really need, but we're just going to continue. Memshan Ad Shalochar V'Abayis, Gol Salah Sanhedrin V'Yashvala B'Chanuyas. 40 years before the Churban Habayis, the Sanhedrin went into Galus and went away from the Lishchas Hagazus and went to these other places to sit. They would not be done in the Lishchas Hagazus anymore. So the Ma'ihilchsa, why? What's the kunz of getting out of the Lishchas Hagazus? Amr Yisrael Rav Dimi Lomar Shalodana Dine Knasos, to teach that they wouldn't be done Dine Knasos anymore. And when they're not in the Lishchas Hagazus, it's not going to be done Dine Knasos. Frankly, Gemara, where's that din? Dine Knasos Al Kadai Kinala be done. You need to have smicha to be done Dine Knasos, but you don't need to be in the Lishchas Hagazus to be done Dine Knasos. Where's such a din? So Ella Emes Shalodam Dine Nefashos. Now the point is they didn't want to be done Dine Nefashos. Gemara in Sanhedrin says Misha Rabu Arotzchin. When there were too many murders going on, they stopped being done Dine Nefashos. Counterintuitive. No, you would assume that when there is murder going on, they would have to want to be done Dine Nefashos. They have to punish all these murderers. So no, the point was that Dine Nefashos in general are not there so that Sanhedrin could actually kill people. Dine Nefashos are there as a deterrent, and it wasn't working. So Adrav, Sanhedrin does not want to kill people. Gemara Makkah says Sanhedrin, a Bezdin that kills people even with very infrequently, is considered to be a very violent Bezdin. The goal of Chiyuv Misa in Judaism is never to actually kill people, and that's why it's so hard. The standard of evidence is so difficult to meet to actually kill somebody. I think Rav Moshe writes all that in the Tshuva to the governor of the state of New York when he asked him about the death penalty, what the Jewish view on the death penalty is. He said, we don't hold that we're supposed to do it. We hold that it's supposed to be on the books and it's supposed to deter people, unless society is getting out of control. If society is getting out of control and the government feels that they could do certain punishments, they could be onish, shalom min adin, that's gonna help keep things under control, then you're allowed to do. But in this whole presentation of what we actually think of killing people and in a court, he says Judaism doesn't really believe in it. We have a lot of things that you chayv misa for, but it's all just supposed to be a deterrent. So anyway, the point is though that 80 years before the Churban, these gzeros were made. V'chitem pei shana nami inuhavu. So who says that's a stira? We just said before that it was Yossi ben Yoezer, etc., who made this gzera. So maybe he lived 80 years before the Churban Habayis. So says Mar Vatanya, no, we have a brisa that tells us not that way. Hillel v'shimon, Gamliel v'shimon, nagu nisiyuson b'fnei Habayis mea shana. They were knowing their nisiyus 100 years before the Churban. V'li Yossi ben Yoezer, shredi v'Yossi ben Yochanan, have a kadmituva. And Yossi ben Yoezer, shredi and Yossi ben Yochanan were way before this 100 year, way before Gamliel and Shimon, and they're way before that in history. So there's no way that they made the Gezerah and that it was 80 years before the Korban Habayis. That would not have happened. So Ella, rather, the Gemara says, Asu inhu gazer agusha lisrof va'avira v'lo klum. Yossi ben Yoezer and Yossi ben Yochanan made a gezerah that if the ground of chutz laretz touches truma, you could then burn the truma. Treat it like it's vaday tamei, and you're allowed to burn the truma. You should burn the truma. Va'avira v'lo klum. But if truma just goes into the airspace of chutz laretz, it's not going to become tamei at all. That was not included in their gezerah. I mean, if you take truma in your pocket, in a wagon, in anything, through chutz laretz, it's fine. It's only if it touches the ground of chutz laretz that it's going to be metame. Vas rabbanon de peishana, then the rabbanon that lived 80 years before the Churban Habayis came along, and they expanded the gzeira. Gozra avira litos. They were gozer that if it touches the airspace of Eretz Ha'amim, it's going to be suffik tame. You don't burn it, but you're not allowed to eat it either. Lemeimra d'chad gzeirasa havel l'sreifa. So says the Gemara, lemeimra d'tchila chad gzeirasa have l'sreifa v'amril for yadayim tchilas gzeirasa l'sreifa. Wait a second. Do you mean to say that the original gzeira about Eretz Ha'amim was to actually burn truma if it touches the ground of Eretz Ha'amim? But didn't Ilfa teach us that the original gzeira about yadayim that we discussed yesterday, at the very end of yesterday, that original gzeira included full fledged truma to even be sorif truma? That implies yadayim who did tchilas gzeirasa l'sreifa midi achrim ilo. That it's only the gzeira of yadayim that we say the truma that's caused by stam yadayim is gonna allow you to burn truma. But it sounds like the truma caused by Eretz Ha'amim is not gonna allow you to burn truma. Ella, rather you have to say asu inhu gazra gusha litlos va'arvira veloklum. Rather they came along and they were gozer that when it touches the ground of Eretz Ha'amim, not that you could burn truma that it's tamei mamish, but that it's litlos, that it has a din of suffik tamei. So you're not allowed to eat it, but you're not allowed to burn it either. And the airspace does nothing to it, has no effect on the truma. Vasa Rabbanan de Peshana, then the Rabbanan of Peshana came along, and Gazra Gusha Lisrof Vavira Litlos. And they went one step further on each. When it touches the ground, they said, okay, now it's Tamei Vada, you have to burn it. When it touches the airspace, so it's Litlos, it's a Suffolk Tuma. So before we go any further, at this point we seem to be at a good spot in terms of understanding how the Gezerah happened. We happen to have mentioned along the way that 40 years before the Chorban HaBayis, the Sanhedrin left the Lishkas HaGazes. Frek Tosos, the bottom Tosos has Vav Amar Aleph. Tema, the Vekamta Valisa Lamakum Darshinon Minei, Melamit Shamakum Goreim. The whole din that we learn that the Sanhedrin needs to be in the Lishkas HaGazes, where is that din? Is that a din by all dinei nefashos? Loksiv el bezakin mamre. It only says that by zakin mamre. Ubezakin mamre gufei loksiv el bahamra aso shetzarek sheyamra aleim bimakomon avolodono yachal afal pi shein bezan gadol blishchas agazis. And even in zakin mamre, they're allowed to kill a zakin mamre even when the Sanhedrin is not in blishchas agazis. It's just that in order for him to commit his avera, he needs to go to the blishchas agazis to argue on the Sanhedrin and blishchas agazis. It's part of the ma'is avera, but there's no din that the zakin mamre has to that in order to kill a Zakin Mamre or anybody else, that there needs to be a Sanhedrin Lishkas HaGazes. So Tosfos just wonders, where did they pull this din from? That 40 years they left Lishkas HaGazes, now they don't have to kill anybody anymore? Mechitesi, we don't find the source of that anywhere. The Einir Lomar Devinu Shiyu B'Mekomen B'Shas Aveira K'mo B'Zakin Mamre. And don't say, no, you need the Sanhedrin to be in the Lishkas HaGazes at the time of the Avera, just like by the Zakin Mamre, the Sanhedrin was in the Lishkas HaGazes, because Da Zakin Mamre Lo Alam Ra'asa Levad. The whole Maisa Aver of the Zakin Mamre is not just the Hamra against the Sanhedrin Lishkas HaGazes. He has to do more to be Chayiv. He has to go back home and follow his own Pesach and continue to teach his own Pesach. And for that part, the Sanhedrin doesn't need to still be in Lishkas HaGazes. And furthermore, we never find anywhere that before we put someone to death, we say, well, wait a second, when you were doing the Avera, was the Sanhedrin in the Lishkas HaGazes, were they not? There's no such requirement, so Tosfos just leaves as a major tzarachian. Where in the world did we pull this from, that the Sanhedrin needs to be in the Lishkas HaGazes? So Maratzchaya says he was always so bothered by this Tosfos Kashi, he leaves it unresolved, and there's no answer for it, and then he says, Uma ma'od yismach levavi ala metziah asher matzasi. He says, but then I found it! It's a Rambam in the Shrashim, the Rambam in Shorash Yudalin in the Sefer HaMitzvos, quotes a Mechilta. A Mechilta Mefereshes. The Mechilta says, minayin shein mamis nel befnei abayis tamlam reim is bechi tikachan lamos lamadam yesh chabayis atamemis and mein lachabayis yatamemis. You can only kill if there's a base of migdash. V'sham ne'amar gamkein. And then it goes on to say minayin shetei Sanhedrin smucha lemizbeach shem reim is bechi tikachan lamos. That you need the Sanhedrin samach lemizbeach. The lishkas hagazes samach lemizbeach. Sanhedrin sat right next to the mizbeach. So it's enough in the mechilta that you can only kill when you have the base of migdash with the Sanhedrin there next to the mizbeach. So he says, why didn't I know this Mechilta? Because it's not in our versions of the Mechilta. The Rambam had a different version of the Mechilta where the Rambam had this. So that's why we didn't know this Mechilta, says Maritz Chais. Just a very interesting thing. Rav Yosef Engel adds one more Maramakum over here. He says, I'll tell you the reason why it is that that Beis Din can't kill if they're not in the Lishchus HaGadol, just because you need Beis Din there for the Zaken Mamre. What does that have to do with Zaken? Why just because you need Beis Din in the Lishchus HaGadol for the Zaken Mamre, does that mean Beis Din can never kill anybody if they're not in Lishchus HaGadol? So says Rav Yosef Engel, again, dripping with Mar Makomos. He says, it's enough in a Mishal Melech and Maisa Kabanos that has a very similar idea. Mishal Melech, Maisa Kabanos. What's going on in Maisa Kabanos? So the Rambam writes, Maisa Kabanos, Ein Kometz Pachos Mi Beis Zesim, that a Kemitza has to be, when a Kohen takes a Kemitza, he has to be able to be Machzik in his hand to Kizesim. So the Mishnah Melech says that if you look in the Yerushalmi, it says, Me'ata Kohen She'in Yodo Machzakas Kishnei Zesim Pasul Min Avoda, that a Kohen who can't hold two Kizesim in his hand can't do the Avoda. Can't do the avoda. He can't do kmitza. Why can't he do other avodas just because his hand is too small to hold shnei kazesim? So he says, you see that he's pasul chal avodas because if he's pasul for one avoda, he's pasul for all avodas. So he says, dugma ledavar, if the Sanhedrin is not able to be done, zaken mamre, they can't be done anybody else either. If they can't be done this dine nefashos, they can't be done any dine nefashos. It's a dugma ledavar. It's not exactly the same din, obviously, but it's an example of where we find. So that's a different approach than the Maritz. That it is like Tosa says, based in Zaken Mamre, but the fact that it can't be done in Zaken Mamre will make them unable to be done anybody else either in Dinei Nefashos. Okay, Vaitu in the Gemara. So the Gemara had said, okay, we have traced the history. Yossi ben Yazar, Yossi, and Yossi ben Yochanan originally made a certain Gzera in Eretz Ha'amim, and then 80 years before the Korban Abayis, they expanded the Gzera a little bit. Frak the Gemara, Vakati bu'usha Gazar. No, the Gzera seems to still have come at an even later time. This Gzera was made in Usha, Ditnan, because we have a Mishnah that tells us, Alvav Sveikos Sarfenes Truma. Normally, if you want to be able to burn Truma, it has to be Tamei Vadai. If Truma is only Suffolk Tamei, so that Allah is, it's an Issa Daraisa to burn Truma. You're not allowed to be Ma'abe Truma. So you're not allowed to burn it, you're just not allowed to eat it either if it's Suffolk Tamei. But there are six cases of Suffolk Tumah and Truma where you're allowed to burn it, where the Chiyav is to burn it. And they are as follows. Al Suffolk Besa Pras. If Truma was in a Besa Pras. A Besa Pras is an area that's a Suffolk Tamei. Either a Sada Sheh Nevad Ba Kever, where there was a kever here, but it was lost, we don't know where the kever is, or a sadash nechrash ba kever, that there was a kever, but the whole field was plowed up, and the dead body is now strewn about the entire field, and we can't find, we don't know exactly, so we assume the whole area has a certain cheskas tuma. Tosus over here says, this case must be talking about sadash nechrash ba kever, not a sadash nevad ba kever, but either way, that's one of the types of suffik tuma that we'd burn truma for. Val suffik afar habame Eretz Ha'amim. If you have a Safek Afar that comes from Eretz Ha'amim, we'd burn Truma for it. Meaning if the Eretz Ha'amim touched Truma, so they made this Gezer that you'd burn Truma for it. Val Safek Big Day Ama'aretz. If Safek Big Day Ama'aretz, we're not sure. Big Day Ama'aretz, we assume are Tameh, but we don't know. Bevadai. Val Safek Kelim Anim Tzayin. If you find a Kli and you don't know if it belongs to Ama'aretz and if it was Tameh or not, so it's a Safek. Val Safek Harokin. You see spit. It could be a Rok of a Zav, or it could be a Rok of someone who's not Tameh. Val Safek May Ragli Adam Shekenegin May Ragli Behema. You have a Safek about May Raglayim. You see human urine next to animal urine, and you're not sure, number one, if the urine that you think is human urine or animal urine. So if it's not human urine, then it's not going to be tummy anyway. And if it is, it still might not be tummy because it may not have come from a zav. So Rashi says, even though it's a svek sveka, still if Truma comes in contact, Tosa says, no, it can't be a svek sveka. We dafka say it's next to animal urine to say that you're sure that it's human urine because you could see the difference. You can compare the two. So you see that this clearly comes from a human being. It's only one suffix. But Tosa doesn't like the idea to say that it's svek svek over here. Valvadai magot and suffik tumas and sufferness truma. When the truma definitely touched it, but you're not sure if the item itself was tameh, then you'd be sorry if the truma by all these things. Rabbi Yossi Amar Afal Safik Magon, Rosh Hashanah Yachad Sofer. Rabbi Yossi says, even if you're not sure if the truma touched any of these items, so you would still burn the truma in a Rosh Hashanah Yachad. The Chamom, if the Safik occurred in Rosh Hashanah Yachad, because Safik tameh Rosh Hashanah Yachad is tameh. The Chamom Rosh Hashanah Yachad Tolin versus Ram Tohorin. And the Cham said that in Rosh Hashanah Yachad it would be a Safik, it would remain a Safik, but Rosh Hashanah Rabbim we would say it's Vaday Tohor. Va'amar Ula, Elu vav sveikos buusha iskinu. And Ula commented that all these six sveikos were Mesukan and Usha. One of these six sveikos was about Eretz Ha'amim, was about Tumah of Eretz Ha'amim. So don't you see that they made this takana in Usha, that it wasn't in these very early generations? Ella asu inhu gazer agusha litlos va'aviru v'lo klum. So now let's go back to trace it again. The original Yossi ben Yozer, Yossi ben Yochanan, they made the gzeira that if the Truma touches the ground of Eretz Ha'amim, it's suffik tame. If it touches the airspace of Eretz Ha'amim, nothing happens to it. Vasu Rabbanim d'shmon m'shana gazer. Then the Rabbanim that lived 80 years before the Churban HaBayis came along, and they expanded the gzeira, and they said, idi v'idi litlos, that if it touches either the ground or the airspace of Eretz Ha'amim, so then it's going to be suffik tame. Vasu b'usha, and then in Usha they came along, gazer agusha lisrof va'avira kidekai kai, and they expanded the gzeira to say that if it touches the ground of Eretz Ha'amim, then it's going to be then you're going to be able to burn truma, and that's why this made the list in Usha of six. What were the chidushim in Usha? That even though it was suffik tuma, you're allowed to burn it. You're allowed to burn the truma for it. So that was their chidush. That's what they added, that you would burn it. That it's not just litlos va'avira kidekai kai, but touching the airspace of Eretz Ha'amim, they left that the way the Rabbanim d'shmonim shana had left it. That if the truma touches the airspace of Eretz Ha'amim, that it's going to be a din of suffik tuma, that you're not going to be able to burn the truma. Okay, Mirz Hashem, we'll pick up at the two dots tomorrow and just start discussing Klei Zechuchus.